Top of Tzadi Bet Amud Aleph. So this, for those of you who are my share, we are continuing things that that were in the daf yesterday, but which we did in a few weeks ago in Shir, which is the question of brachot on mitzvot. Right? I don't know if you got a chance to listen to yesterday's but you'll see. We went through a lot of the overlasiyata and stuff. We had in fact seen it in Shir. So Gemara at the top of Tzadi Bet Amud Aleph says Shchita Eimatayim Levarich Aleha. So when do you make the bracha on Shchita? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Over Lishchot before you shecht, and Yosef Ben Arayom Mishi Yishchot afterwards. Lama. Remember, these were all things that were rejected in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi they become possibilities again. Shema Titna Baal Shchitata. Because maybe the shechita will go badly, and the animal will be a nevela, and therefore it won't be a mitzvah. So you wait till afterwards. And there are famously, this is important for you to know, five ways of posseling a shechita. And they are, what are they? Let's see if you guys know. Shihiyah, which is if you pause in the middle of the act of shechting. Dirisa is where you push rather than back and forth, like slice. Chalada, which is where the knife gets covered by the simarim. Hagrama, which is in the wrong place. And ikur, which is like you where the siman gets pulled out of its place.
If the knife is supposed to just be a back forth motion, how exactly is the knife shaped so that there's no pushing whatsoever? Is there a set shape?
Yes, and sharpness. Well, not shape, but sharpness. Yeah, sharpness, yes. So he was worried that that the shechita would be possible in every bracha levatala. Right now, while in general we would seem to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that you do it over l'asiyatan, there are some poskim like the Or HaZeruah who suggest that we don't fully reject the concerns of Yosef Ben Arayom, and therefore, in a case where there is reason to believe that this animal might be a nevela, not like stam, but there's a reason to believe the animal might not be kosher, so then you, in fact, would make the bracha afterwards, which you'll say is crazy, but it's not, because remember, this is the Or HaZeruah, who in general was more lenient on over l'asiyatan, if you remember from when we didn't share. So Gemara says, Me'ata, Mishiv Doket HaSimanin. So Gemara said, well, if the concern that the bracha might not be kosher, so maybe you should only make the bracha only after you check the simanim to make sure that it wasn't a trefa, right? Because what you're talking about now is the psulim that would make it a nevela. The shechita would be bad, but maybe the animal is a trefa, meaning it has one of the things that would, right, one of the simanim, tarfut, that defined the animal as not viable, and therefore it's not kosher, and therefore the shechita is invalid for other reasons. So if you're worried that you can't make a bracha until you're sure that the bracha is on a kosher shechita, shouldn't you wait? So the Gemara says, no, cheskep bin me'ayim kshei rim. Because when it comes to trefa, there is a chazaka that the stomach is in fact fine. There aren't holes in the stomach. And therefore you don't have to worry about that. Now this is only the stomach. It's not as true about lungs, right? Lungs you do have to check. And this is where, glot kosher comes in because of the thing in lungs where you do have to check it, but glot is to make it that it's smooth. And therefore there's no reason to check for certain lesions, which would make it, a trefa. And the Gemara says, well, once we know that the stomach is presumed to be kosher, we'll take it even farther. And Tani shechta v'nat lo zev me'ah k'shera. That even if you shecht it, and then before you can check the stomach, it is stolen by wolves, not by like a person, by wolves, it is assumed to be kosher. And the Gemara says, v'choshe shema nikvu. Why? Why aren't you worried that there might be holes in the stomach? So Rabbi Babashim Rabbanan, Tamon b'nei me'ayim, v'chesked kosher, because we just said there's a chazaka that the stomach is fine, and therefore, if you can't check it, you are, b'diavad, you are allowed to assume that it is kosher.
All the organs are,
right now, I took this as a question, okay? There were some who said that me'ata was benichuta, right? Which is that it wasn't a question. I just read it as a question, which I think is a little bit smoother. Yeah. What'd you say?
I was wondering, is this something that's carried over to all the organs, or is it...
No, different organs have different things. Lungs, in general, have problems. Everything else is presumed to be kosher. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so now the Gemara says, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that if one's wife is pregnant, so he can't say, may the child be a boy, because that is a tefillat shav. That is your... asking for God to change the past, and I mentioned briefly yesterday that, you know, you can talk to, I think Sam does deal with it. I think he might have dealt with it, it was here, right? Which is, yes, God can change the past, but doesn't normally, right? Maybe he does in the hyper-past or the hyper-hyper-past or whatever, but normally in our timeline, we're not supposed to be asking for God to change the past, and therefore it's a tefillat shav. So debate, Yanai Amri B'Shevet Al HaMashber Hi Matnita. Now, the interesting question is, so based on modern science, we would assume that when can you stop asking for God to change the sex of the child? Conception or something, right? That's not the assumption in Chazal. In the Bavli, it's 40 days. Because before 40 days, the baby is concerned Maya Ba'alma. This was a Greek assumption as well. That before 40 days, it's nothing. It's therefore completely flexible.
Are we able to assume that it's that the assumptions carry over?
I wonder that. I don't know. I don't know whether this is like, well, halakhically doesn't exist, and therefore God can perform miracles and it won't be noticed then, or it's because, or do you have to say we have to change it in light of our Mitzvah? I'm not sure. But you'll see that the Yerushalmi Machal doesn't think that. The Yerushalmi is much more extreme. Because the Yerushalmi, according to Rabbi Yanai, he says, no, it's only when she's on the birthing stool. Hakodem ken yatzli. Up to then, it's fine.
Wow.
Al shem yineka chomer biyada yotzer. Why? And this is why I'm not sure what the answer is, because the proof of the Yerushalmi is because is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says the people are like clay in the hand of the potter. And therefore, even though the past, even though they understand presumably, it's being invoked because they understand that the child has a sex, and nevertheless, as long as it's not born yet, God, that's not considered, I guess, too miraculous for God to, it's not too miraculous for God to change it, right? God does miracles, just not too obvious. I mean, that's why I'm not sure what the answer is, right? Because it could be that the Bavli rejects this, and the Bavli's scientific understanding is until 40 days, the baby has no definition. Or it could be that they're arguing about degree. Right? The Bavli recognizes that maybe a baby has a sex from conception, which the Bavli probably does, because the Bavli talks about things that will affect the sex, right? Like if the Gemara has a thing. If the man is Masriya, in their science, they thought that women had Zera also. So if the man is Masriya first, then you have a female. If the woman is Masriya first, you have a male, which means that they do seem to believe that at conception already, there is a default sex. They just think it can be changed, and that's why you might think the Bavli is just a...
less about the status of the child itself and more about the ability for God to
create. Exactly. So until what point... can God perform a miracle? Would God perform a miracle?
Not could,
right? Obviously, could. But I mean, look, it's true even nowadays that even though we recognize that at conception the child is already defined, whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, you don't see it on the ultrasound until a few weeks later. Right? You don't know the sex. You can't figure out the sex of the child for a while. And therefore, in general, right, so like, for example, the Gemara says that there's no, that the God will only perform nisim b'davar asamim min ha'ayin. That if you have a pile of grain in your harvest, before you count it, God might perform a miracle and add to it. But once you count it, he won't, because then it would be an open miracle. It's not saying there wasn't a quantity, it's just that God performs things hidden. So that's why I tend to think it's more that. It's not that God, that it didn't recognize the science of a child having a certain sex from conception. It's that how much are we allowing God to perform miracles without being an open miracle? So the Bavli says 40 days. The Yerushalmi here says until birth. And in the Midrash in Breishit Rabbah,
he told me during
there are two shito there just on whether it's even while she's on the birthstool or only before that, right? So you see, again, it's exactly fine. So Rabbi B'Shem David Yanai Ikri Burishal Dina Zachar Haya, and what's the famous story in this context is the Yosef Dina switch, right? You've heard this, I'm sure.
Yes.
So but now you're going to discover there are different versions of it, because Dina was a male. Be'achar Shen Bala Rachel, when Rachel Davin Naset Nikeva, she was made a girl. Hadahi Va'achar Yalda Bat V'Tikreshma Dina. That's why it says Va'achar Yalda, meaning Me'achar Shen Bala Rachel Naset Nikeva. After Rachel Davin, she became Dina. Now this is very different than versions we have elsewhere. So first of all, in this version, who davens? Rachel. Why does Rachel daven? Because she wanted a son. Right? And she realized she was having a daughter, so she davened that it should be switched to a son, and therefore Leah ended up having a daughter, and she ended up having a son. In the Bavli, who davens? And the Midrash? Leah davens. Why does Leah daven? Because she realizes that she's about to have seven of the Shvatim, which would leave Rachel with one less than even the maidservants had two. Exactly. So it's Leah. So this is a... and Yonatan ben Uziel has yet a different tradition, and that is... And what's the... now, but both of these are different from the even more radical version that you might have heard at some point, which is from Yonatan ben Uziel. And that is... No. Yes, Leah davened, but it wasn't they switched sex, is that the fetuses switched, that Rachel, that Dina and Yosef actually switched rooms. Correct. And this, why is that important? Because these versions, crazily enough, you look at this like, I don't know what's going on here, except where do these versions of this Midrash become important? Very good. Right, is that this is one of the few sources we actually have in figuring out who is the mother when you have surrogates, when you have an egg donor or you have a surrogate mother, because here we have examples of magic moving fetuses.
Yeah, I've only heard these
Oh, right, so it's also brought in the gender theory question. Yes, correct. So in the halachic context, you'll find it more in this question of who's the mother, the surrogate mother, the mother who's carrying it, or the egg donor, the egg mother. But yes, in terms of gender theory, people will also point to this to talk about, well, I don't know, different things, right? Because depending on the version here, is it that you could have a boy who has a girl's soul, a girl who has a boy's soul, or whatever they do with it, and they start playing with these zagadot. But yes, this has... for better or for worse, become one of the sources they look at. And then you have to analyze all the different versions. Okay, fine. I'm not going to go that route. But I wanted you to understand the surrogate one, because that is a really important question where there isn't really good halachic evidence in classic sugyot as who's the mother. So Amar Yehuda ben Pazi b'shem Yanai. And based on this, what do we learn? That Imeni Rachel min Nivyot HaRishonot Aita. That Rachel was a Nivyah. Now, of course, this is not agreed to in all Midrashim. In some Midrashim, not all the Imahot are prophetesses, because she said, Amra, Od Acher Yemimeni, Hadu Techiv, Yosef Hashem, Li Ben Acher. She said, I'll have another kid, Banav Acherim La Amra, Ela Od Acher Yihya Mimeni. Now, this... According to this, this statement has nothing to do with the previous statement. However, some of the Mefarshi Rushalmi, the Maram Chaviv, and the Femara say no. This is showing that it's an argument. Is that this never happened. It's saying Rachel never davened for this. She was predicting. Right? This wasn't tefillah. It was a nevuah. Right? So by saying she's a nevuah, what? Exactly. Just rejecting this story. Alternatively, right, or another version, the Maharzu says no. The reason it's bringing it is to tell you that under normal circumstances, davening for the change of a sex is in fact a tefillat shav, but Rachel is Nevi'ah, and Nevi'im have different statuses because they have more miracles for them. Okay, we got to move faster. Aya Baba Derech Ma'u Omer, when you're traveling, what do you say? Since you're not allowed to say, may God change it. So he says, Batuach Anisha Enel B'Doch Beiti. Say it's not, I'm sure that this screaming is not in my house. Now, that's really radical. Why not? Do bad things. So some of Farshim say that the reason is because bad things don't happen to good people. Other people say, what are you talking about? Bad things happen to good people. How can you be Batuach? So it could just be an expression. Correct. So it could be an expression of faith. It could be an expression of faith. And others say, no, it's not that bad things don't happen. It's the screaming. It's that amongst tzaddikim, they take even bad things with equanimity. Or they just wouldn't be screaming or something like that. And this is the footnote here in the article, is a long discussion about whether this is in fact saying that bad things don't happen to good people, or it's telling you how to react to it. And El Zakin Omer Mishmora Lo Yira, that you shouldn't fear bad news. And again, some say maybe that's only El Zakin. And right, the Rashi Eliyahu says, yeah, there's only El Zakin to show that for the average person, you cannot count on God changing, you know, that bad things not happening to you. If you're a real tzaddik, then yeah, you can expect. That's the case. We got to move on. Okay, next Mishnah. When you come into a city, you daven two things: one on your way out, one on your way in, one on your way out. Simple pshat is that it's a bakasha on the way in and a hodah on the way out. That's how the Rambam understands it. Rashi thinks they're both bakasha. Right? One is that you'll come in peace, and the other is that you'll leave in peace. Benazi says two and two. Vinote and hodah l'shavar, and you think about the past with tzorek latid lavo, and that's, you know, the Rambam's perush on this, is that, well, why does he think that the one as you leave is a thanks, because I thank about the past and then I daven for the future. So anichnas lekrach, what is the tefillah? Midbal shnayim acham mikniyat acham yitzato mikniyatato omer yiratzom lavanecha Hashem alokai velokia v'tai shetach nisein lekrach zel shalom. May God bring me in peace. Yitzato omer modan lavanecha Hashem alokai sheo tzitenu l'shalom. Benazay Omer Mevarich Arba. What are the four? Shaimin does the Shaim be Yitzato, but Kniya Yitzato who Omer Yiratzom Lavanechashem Alokai Velokavadai. Shitachni Zeni Lekrach Zel Shalom. Nichnas Omer. Once you actually get in, you say Mo Daniel Lavanechashem Alokai Velokavadai. She Nichnas Lishalom. Thank you for bringing me in peace. King Yiratzom Lavanechashem Mitochol Lishalom. May it be your will that I leave in peace. Right. So there's some mix of Hoda and Bakasha. Kishiyote, when you leave, Omer Yiratzom Lavanechashem Alokai Shetani Mikrach Zel Shalom. Take me out of the city in peace. Yatza Omer Modin Lavanechashem Alokai Shetani Lishalom. Kain Yiratzom Lavanechashem Alokai Shetani Lishalom. Lavakom Plone Shalom. And Hada Omer Bimidorot Goyim. This is only buying non-Jewish cities. Av Yisrael Ein Tzarech Lavarech, because you're sure that the Jewish city will take care of you. Because that worked out well in Pilegish Begiva. Obviously, the Gemara says, Imaya Makom Shedonin Vahorgin Sham, but if it is a place of Yisrael where, you know, they put people to death. Because it's possible that, you know, your life is in danger. Now, then the Gemara says, and this we have in the Bavli as well, though it is really theologically problematic, because after the Yerushalmi very, 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 very heatedly rejected davening to angels at the beginning of the perek, now it says, "Hanichnas leveidakise." When you go to the bathroom, mevarach shtayim. You make two brachot. Achad be knitzatov, achad mitziyatov. When you go in, when you go out, bechnitzatov ma omer. What do you say when you come in? Kavod lochem amechubadim misharatei kodesh. Oh, honor to you, holy angels who take me into the bathroom. Derech eretzu panu derech. Right, and then on you add goodbye. Baruch hakel kavok shu yotzei ma omer. Baruch asher yatzar adam bechachma. Yishei Asher Yatzar, which is obviously very, very, very important. Why do we not say this? So some people, the Beis Yosef says, only if you're a huge chassid are you zoiche to have special angels that escort you into the bathroom, and therefore we are not. Yes, exactly. Now, again, the major problem that people have here is why I don't get it, is how does this deal with the davening to angel thing? So just know that this is a yes. Right, and the Moroktia just says, I don't know what's going on. Let me see if I can quickly. I'm fine. Yeah, so I found the Moroktia. Moroktia says like this. What is this? We already said, so near the Adal Yashiv came Shomer Mishart El Yon, Abai Mishlukosh Makam wrote to Bishmart Yerev Al Yedem, Ray Talag Dul of Achivit Vashkach of Valle, Ink Pay the Bekach Meato. He says, since you call them Mishart Kodesh, Mishart El Yon, you're really not invoking them, you're invoking God. Right? Right? You're highlighting the fact that they serve God, so you're really invoking a tefillah to God. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara says, here's another one. When you go into a Merchatz, when you go into a bathhouse, so. You ever went to, you guys went to Masada, right? Yeah. So they show you the bathhouse in Masada, and they show you how it was basically, many of these bathhouses were huge pots. You were basically in a pot. Good. So that's why you say the following. That's why in the Bavli, it tells the story of one of the members of Chazal who would literally write his will and give his last will and testament every time he went to take a shower, because you know you might fall into the burning fire. But here there was a special tefillah. Hanichlas. God save me from the burning fire, from the damage of the hot water, and from the roof falling in. Nothing bad happened. And if I die, at least let that atone for my sins. This is what they felt when they took showers. Give out. I would not take as many showers as I do. Oh man, when he got out, thank you for saving me from the fire, from the flames. Now, obviously, this is only one of those bathhouses where you were literally walking into a pot on the fire. But if it's not, I don't know, you're in Chamei Tveria or something, or you'd already turned off the fire and you're just boiling water. You just say, let me not be burnt by the water. You're still in danger, but not from the fire, only from the water. So, you know. Yeah. Now, this is why the post can say that we don't say it nowadays, because, you know, we don't take our lives in our hands when we take a shower in the same way. Right? This is the Bach, Morgan Avram. Right? And he says, right? And he says, because even, and they point out that even though our Gemara says, well, sometimes there's not a fire there, you still might be scalded by the water. It's not like ours, which are perfect temperature controller. Not perfect. You know, more temperature controlled. In America, maybe they're more perfect. In Israel, you know, not so much, but you're probably not going to die. You're likely not to have cold, hot water during the winter, but you probably won't die from boiling water. You don't have to stand up for this. Normally you do, as the poskim note, you stand for tefillot benadir. Okay. You bless God for the good and for the bad. So how do we understand this? So this is quite well known. You serve God with all your hearts. Plural. Now, what is serving God with the Yetzer Hara? Is that being Kovish or Yetzer, or is that using the same qualities that could be used for bad, for good, right? Like the sexual drive is often considered the Yetzer Hara, but obviously can be used for good, for procreation, like v'chol nafshecha, filo notel et nafshecha, even if God takes your life, and this is the chi of martyrdom, maybe only for avodah zara. This might only be the source for avodah zara, and not for the others. V'chol mamonecha is davar. With all your money, with every measure, with everything that God does to you, you should be with simcha. And then the second half of the Mishnah moves into the questions of Mora Mikdash, of fearing the Beit Mikdash. We did this sugya briefly a little while ago. Remember, bringing money onto Harabayit, right? The parallel in Pesachim. So lo yakel adam et rosho keneged shar mizrach. Don't be levitous by the eastern gate. So mechuvan keneged beit kachya kachim. Because that's parallel to Beit Kodesh. Don't go into Arabayit with your walking stick of Vinalo and your shoes of Afundato. And that's either your money belt, according to Rashi, or your, it's like an undershirt with sweaty, which is the Rambam. And again, that has nafkaminas for the money case that we saw then. And the dust on your feet. And don't make it a shortcut. And obviously, you can't be spitting. Call chotme a bracha chayiv mikdash every when you would finish a bracha mikdash hayu omrim min ha olam, you would just say min ha olam. When the heretic said, aha, you see there's only one world and not a world to come. So they would say, right, instead of Baruch Hashem, you say Min Ha'olam V'ad Ha'olam is part of the bracha to highlight that we believe in two worlds. Let's just finish the Mishnah, I guess. V'itkinu Adam Shol Shalom Chaveru B'Shem. And they were metakein that you should greet God B'Shem. Hashem Shneamar, and the source is from Boaz. The source is from Boaz. Now there's a machlok to be shown him. Does this mean that they were matir it, or they obligated you to greet someone b'shem Hashem? Right, and the Rivan and Makut Chav Kimol and Bez brings both, right? The Mutter L'Adam L'Shol B'Shalom Chaveru B'Shem Kagon Yasim Hashem Alecha Shalom Ve'ein Bo Mishum Motzi Shem Shemayim L'Vatala. He's just saying it's Mutter and it's not Shem Shemayim L'Vatala. Or Lashon Achar She'ilat Shalom B'Shem Dechayvan L'Shol B'Shalom Chaveru. Now, if it's a Chiyuv, then you'll say, well, why don't we do it? What's the answer? No, we say Shalom Aleichem. And Shalom is one of God's names, and that is a Kiyum of this. And the pasuk is Shneamar v'inei Boaz ba mibeit lechem v'amvayomer lekotrim Hashem imachem. He said to them, God is with you. V'omer, and they answered, Hashem imcha gibor achayil. Right, and you need both, as the Charedim points out, to show that it was a takana. It wasn't just something Boaz did, but that was the norm. They both were involved with it. V'omer al tavuz. Right, the pasuk in Mishle says, "Don't be right. Don't make fun of the takanot of the umah, right? Which is a mashal for your people. Is the umah is your ima, is your mother, right? Which is being brought here as a proof that you should rely on the minhagim of Boaz because you rely on the minhagim of the earlier generation, or alternatively, the Aruch says, right? Don't think that this was in ancient history, but not in the present. The Rambam understands it differently, and he says this has nothing to do with the previous statement, but rather this is just a general rule of the importance of keeping minhagim and not making fun of minhagim. And then the Mishnah finishes, Eit la'asot la'shem efiru toratecha. Rabbi Natan Omer Efiru Toratecha Eit La'asot La'Shem. Right, you can read this pasuk in two ways. Either it's a time to act for God, and therefore it's mutter to uproot the Torah, or people are uprooting the Torah, so now we have a chiyuv to act for God, and right, maybe people weren't appreciating God enough, and therefore you greeted b'shem Hashem. Okay, let's stop with that, and we will finish the daf tomorrow.